unless this offensive line screws things up royally, this should be the best offense in football. You know, I'm a purist, gentlemen, and my tush needs certain care. No excuses. And this is the law of physics. Absolute malarkey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Draft week is here on the Ira Kaufman podcast featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports who has breaking news today, or some quality news anyway, the king of Newport Richie, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. He is Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. Ira, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, Steve. You know, something very, very bizarre happened this morning, in fact. Very bizarre. I'm trying to figure out the ramifications of it. I'm interested in what you guys think, but...
Someone dropped off toilet paper on your front door?
Cosmo peed on the kitchen floor today. When I looked at the urine sample, it was in the shape of Javon Kinlaw. I can't figure out what's going on here, but it clearly resembled Kinlaw in the features. If you draw a circle around the P, maybe Cosmo's got some kind of intel on what's going on at One Buck Place, gentlemen. Now, the fact that it's urine, that doesn't make you smile about the draft in Kinlaw.
Ira, leave us speechless at all times here on your podcast. Now, look, Sage, before you take this podcast in the wrong direction, it's always good to drive in the right direction, which takes you right to Bill Curry Ford, presenter of the podcast. 0% financing offers are extraordinary right now. 6 months of no payments. Unbelievable. It's just that I don't know how else to say it. Unbelievable. BillCurryFord.com is the website. And you benefit from their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. But you also get their family service. General Manager Sean Sullivan, our draft guru extraordinaire, is a friend. The Bill Curry family is phenomenal. Family owned. Tampa's first family of Ford. Sage, I know you told me this morning you went for another cruise in the sun with your bride and your 2020 Ford Escape. Where'd you go?
We were in our cherry red 2020 Escape, and we wanted to go out for an excursion. These days, you know what an excursion consists of? Going down to Pam's restaurant, ordering takeout because the place is closed except for delivery and takeout. Got a BLT, a grilled cheese, two lemonades. We were going to eat it in the car, but then we said, nah, let's go down by the river. We went down by the river. We pulled in. Of course, you know, we used to go there a month ago and sit there at the tables and watch people float by on the kayaks and the boats. And now they got the tables all cordoned off. You can't do it. So we sat in the car. And if Sean Sullivan's listening to this, gentlemen, I want to make it clear that I had a napkin on my lap and no bacon bits went onto the seat of this beautiful Ford Escape. But it's quite a vehicle, Steve. I think we'll take it out again tomorrow. I don't know where to go. We're going out in that car whenever we get a chance.
All right, Ira. And I have a special announcement. Lee, Ira's going to love this. Tomorrow, Ira, which is Wednesday, the day that most people listen to this podcast, you will be delivered to your home a draft night package courtesy of Big Storm Beer. All kinds of beer is coming to your house, Ira, in addition to a couple of Reuben sandwiches. And I know you'll end up hitting me up for some tater tots. But, of course, the Big Storm Tap Room in Odessa is not far from you. They are delivering. You can pick up food there and, of course, drive in and stock up for the draft. Same thing in Clearwater on 49th Street. And Big Storm is found at all your great places to buy beer. So BigStormBrewery.com is where you can order. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can search all their incredible craft beers. Tangerine IPA, the Bromosa. We're getting into that Bromosa time of year with the wonderful weather. And I'm very excited to send this to your house, Ira.
Dave, is this going to be a daytime or nighttime delivery? I got to know.
I'll give you an exact time, but they start delivering at noon. We'll sort it out there. Won't be a morning, Ira. Won't be a morning.
You know, Lee, I can't have strangers knocking on my door and opening it up unless I'm wearing that mask with the coffee filter hanging down. Somebody took a picture of me with that mask on in Target a few days ago, and I didn't want to do it because I said, I can't have this photo going on Twitter. Absolutely can't do it. They said they were only going to give it to their son, who's a huge Bucks fan, loves Joe Bucks fan, listens to the podcast. So far I haven't seen it on Twitter, but I got to tell you guys, I'm no artist, and this contraption I came up with in terms of a mask, Lee, it's kind of hideous. Kind of hideous.
You can't be any hideous in your opening comments to this podcast.
I got a coffee filter hanging down from my mouth. They don't get any worse than that.
All right, Ira, look, I'm going to hit you with a sharp draft question here. We got so much Buck stuff on the table, but I want to get your opinion on two national things first here. One, what do you think of the chatter the Giants might want to draft a quarterback at number 4 overall 1 year after taking Daniel Jones at number 6?
Absolute malarkey. Absolute nonsense. You know, it's to me, it would be like the Bucks taking a quarterback at number 14 when you got Tom Brady. It doesn't mean the Bucks won't take a quarterback in the fourth round, but not at pick number 14 when he's going to hold a clipboard for 2020. Lee, we know that's not going to happen. As far as the Giants are concerned, I thought the kid had a pretty decent rookie year. Ask any Buck fan, the guy looks sensational in week 3 leading that comeback at Ray J. That's the game that probably buried the Bucks for the season, Lee, in retrospect. You can't lose a lead like that. I know Gabe missed a field goal at the end of that game, but it never should have came to that. Lee and Brown looked very good in that game. Gettleman doesn't let anything out of the house. He's very circumspect, Lee, and that's why I don't believe any rumors when it comes to the Giants in the draft. Zero.
I think you're referring to Daniel Jones, who let out a staff of a quarterback that came from Duke, the other Duke quarterback.
Oh, the other Duke quarterback. Yeah. Didn't the kid throw for 300 yards that day against the Bucks in week 3?
Oh, yeah, Daniel Jones, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if that's true, and I'm like you, I don't know what to believe this time of year. I'm leaning toward not believing anything. But if that's true, that would make 2 years in a row a team drafted a quarterback in the first round and gave up on him after 1 year.
How could the same general manager keep his job, Lee, if that's true? You know?
Well, both of them are. If you believe this, both of them are. Gettleman's still employed. Steve Kime's still employed.
Oh, boy. Hey, you know, by the way, I'm going to throw this out there, gentlemen. This might be crazy, but this guy, Josh Rosen, you know, he hasn't shown very much. But I'm going to say this. I don't think this kid's really been given a chance. I'm not saying he's going to be good. But I'm not absolutely convinced he's a bust either. And I think you can get him on the cheap. Josh Rosen, and I think he's worth a chance. I don't think that's crazy as far as a Buck perspective is concerned. Steve, I just don't think Rosen's been given a credible chance in the NFL.
It's a fair point, Ira, but he has been given a chance with two organizations, so that just doesn't speak very well. And nobody else has wanted him. I'm sure that there have been other offers made. I forgot exactly what Miami traded for him.
But I don't think he got much of a chance in Miami, Steve. Not much of a chance. I think he had a full year in Arizona, but...
Yeah, he had a shot to win the job in Miami. He just couldn't do it. I don't know. But I get what you're saying. If the Bucs are looking at, say, a fifth-round pick to use on a quarterback, if Miami would cough him up for a fifth-rounder, maybe that's, maybe he's a better prospect than any fifth-rounder out there this year. It's worth thinking about. All right, Peter King said on Monday in his mock draft, Ira, and King's had a pretty solid year as far as information goes. He's hearing that the Bucks are hot in the pants about drafting a cornerback, C-O-R-N-E-R, back in round 1. What do you think of that?
I'll second your thoughts about King having a good season because I remember, guys, when I went to Canton in the second week of January for that centennial class, and King was in the room with me, and he had just written up stories linking Tom Brady to the Bucks, and everybody thought he was nuts. This is early January. The season had just ended. And he didn't say it was a done deal, but he said they're credible rumors and speculation. And I remember seeing him in Canton, and I said, oh, you've caused an uproar in Tampa. You got people all excited about Tom Brady, just smiled, and it turned out he was right. So... this cornerback thing, I think this is going to even Peter King's record at 1-1, Lee, as far as the Bucks are concerned. He was right on that one. I think he's going to be wrong on this one. Lee, how many 21-year-old cornerbacks do you need in one room? We spent the last 6 months hearing about the improvements of Carlton Davis, Bunting, and Dean. And now, you're going to take one at number 14. And the only guy that I think will be there maybe is Henderson from Florida. I think the other guy is going to be gone. And, Lee, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'd rather go with the trenches. Buck fans would much rather go with the trenches if your poll is to believe to be believed, which I think is overwhelming offensive line. And I think that's with the assumption that one of the big four would be there at 14. But second is the defensive line, Lee, in the poll on Joe Bucks Fan that was running on Tuesday. So, Lee, I don't see cornerback at all. I think they'd be more inclined to take a safety than a corner. And I think that chance is remote. So, Lee, I'm not sure King has done his homework with the Bucks in regards to that cornerback position, because they've gone so heavy, Lee, in that direction in the last year or two.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And I'm one of the people that believe those guys played fairly well in the last part of the season. I mean, I can only say what I see. No, I can't say, well, I want them to be bad, so they're going to be bad, even though they showed me something else. I can't go there. You know, you always tried to bait me on that, Ira, with Winston. I would never go there because my eyes told me something different. You know, whether the pass rush was making those guys better, I don't know. I mean, that's a fair point. I don't know. That's a hell of a lot of draft capital you've spent on corners, and all of a sudden here there are no, you know, none of them are good enough to start. I could see a veteran corner coming in that's going to be cheap after the draft. And I'm like you, Ira. I think they need a safety a hell of a lot more than they need a corner. Now, I'm not saying the Bucks have three Deion Sanders in the back in the secondary either, but, you know, they showed something. They showed some promise. The defense got better when Vernon Hargraves wasn't off the field. Now, you want to call that a coincidence? Okay, I'm not a big believer in coincidences. So, you had a veteran corner after the draft I'd love to see. I tell you what, there's somehow or another this Simmons gets down to where Jacksonville is, or maybe not. If he's available at 8, you move heaven and earth to get this guy. Holding was on NFL radio just this week again, and he referred to Simmons, Isaiah Simmons, the Clemson every guy kind of guy, and he plays so many positions. Bill Polian referred him as rare, quote unquote rare. And the rare times you hear a personnel guy say that, we're talking Leroy Solomon, we're talking Warren Sapp, we're talking Troy Polamalu, we're talking about rare players. And if this guy plays safety, and Polian said he reminds him of Polamalu, if he's remotely like Troy Polamalu, that's the last piece of the puzzle on the defense. Polamalu, until he blew out his knee, in my eyes, he was the best safety I ever saw. He was all over the place. He was all over the place. I don't care sacking quarterbacks. I don't care if he's blocking kicks. I mean, he was all over the place. If this guy is the next Polamalu, you don't care what the ransom is.
Steve, that's impressive coming from, you gotta check the source. And this is Polian. This is not, Todd McShay, Steve, or Daniel Jeremiah. This is Polian. And Steve, if you check the facts, and I've checked them many times, Polian, and it's the big reason why he's got a bust in Canton. He went about 7 or 8 straight years. And I mean, in a row, where the first player that the Colts drafted, and it wasn't always a first rounder. Sometimes they didn't have a first rounder, but it was the first pick for the franchise in that particular year. Steve, he hit big time players 7 or 8 years in a row. Impact players. That is one hell of a streak. And if Polian's talking about this Simmons guy now, Steve, I'll say this. Some other scouts are concerned, because when you start talking about a guy that can play 5 different positions, that might mean that he doesn't excel at any of them. I think Polian would vehemently disagree. Now, Lee, didn't he also mention Derek Brooks' name with this kid?
Yeah, he had said previously if he gets to be a Will linebacker in a 43, he could be Derek Brooks. His exact quote was, this guy gets the right defense, he could be Derek Brooks. And this week he said he's like Polamalu, and he also compared him to a large Bob. Is it Bob Sanders, the safety of the Colts?
Bob Sanders.
Yep. He said, think of Bob Sanders as a large human being. That's Simmons.
And Sanders was a diminutive safety, but a hell of a hitter, very instinctive. Steve, some people think the Giants are going to take this kid at number 4. I think that makes a hell of a lot more sense from a Meadowlands perspective than taking a quarterback, Steve. I'll say that.
Well,
I'll add to this real quick, Ira. Polian also said about Simmons, he's a ferocious blitzer. And he said what an NFL team needs to do if he's going to play safety, they need to have blitz packages for the safety, which is what he did at Clemson. Clemson did that for him. Napoleon said not only is he a ferocious blitzer, by his count, when he went up against a running back, when a running back was back in pass pro, Simmons won 90% of the time.
I think you might want to use him at slot corner on third down, and I don't care where the heck you line him up. Steve, slot corners are on the field 70% of the time. If this guy can blitz, he could be a bigger Rondé Barber also.
Well, here's why I personally don't like Simmons, because of the whole all-in mentality of the current regime and the current situation. So when you have a guy like Simmons, not that he won't be a phenomenal superstar player, but they have to figure out what his strength is and where he best fits. And all we've heard from the coaches is that, oh, this year, now that it's year two of Todd Bowles' system, he's going to be able to stop being, quote, vanilla. As Bruce Arians said, Rondé Barber said they were covering for the guys in the back end last year, and that won't happen as much this year. And so if you're going to get more complex and you've got a rookie coming in, you've got limited time to teach him, you don't really know where he fits best. It doesn't smell like a recipe for great success this year. You know, they're looking at a 2-year window here. So for me, I'm a little suspect because I don't know how they're going to be able to figure everything out. Ira, this is the same regime that looked at Vernon Hargraves last year and said, you know what? He's our number one corner. We're going to let him lead this group of young guys. That's what they said last year. And they were off the mark. So I just don't trust them. If you want a big-time safety, Jamal Adams is allegedly potentially available. You know,
yes.
He was Todd Bowles' number one defender in New York, vocal to the media, don't blame Bowles, and he was just handpicked by Bowles, loves Bowles. I talked to him about Bowles at the Pro Bowl, two Pro Bowls ago, and I think he would love to come here. And the guy is a proven all-pro. He's a superstar, 10-year superstar kind of guy. I mean, find a way to make some bold changes to get him in here if you really want that guy. That would be something that I'd be thinking about.
He's a fantastic player, Lee. I think there's a money angle to that. That would have to be worked out. That would be more of an impediment than the compensation, maybe. He's a proven star, Lee. Adams is a proven star. Loves Bowles. But I'll say this, Lee. The Bowles factor looms large to me in terms of Simmons, because Steve made some very good points, Lee. But I'll counter that in one respect. If anybody would know how to use Simmons and bring out maximum impact, it should be Todd Bowles, Lee, because his reputation is to put players, play up to players' strengths and put them in the best position to succeed. So, Lee, in that regard, he might be able to welcome a Simmons and quickly find the right spot for him.
That's true. The thing about Jamal Adams, which is kind of funny to me, but I have a perverse sense of humor, the guy said he's not going to participate and virtual OTAs. Basically means he's not going to turn on his computer at home for how many weeks?
Yeah, he can't make himself any clearer that he doesn't want to be a Jet anymore, Steve. There's no question about it.
I'm not going to participate in virtual OTAs. So you're not turning on your computer or your phone?
Steve, you didn't weigh in on whether you think it's viable that the Bucks take a corner at 14.
Well, look. This whole Bowles reputation thing makes me laugh because, again, he's the guy who was leading the troops and making major personnel decisions, in my opinion, last year on the defense. And he's the one who evaluated these guys, and the secondary cost them a ton of games last year. And guys were not where they best belonged. And Jamel Dean has a pretty good game. Next thing you know, he's on the bench because they say he doesn't play zone. And who knows what's really going on there. And so I don't have a lot of faith with
Steve, they played better as the season went on.
They absolutely played better. They played had a better stretch against weaker quarterbacks, and they played better in the back, no question. But it's still, I have a different prism, Ira. I think I'm looking at a Super Bowl prism. They don't have a Super Bowl backfield anywhere close to that. So I'd like to see them make a bold move as far as drafting a cornerback at number one. I think I might be one of two guys in Tampa Bay who would applaud that if you really believe that you got a lockdown corner, because those guys come in and they change teams. We've seen it over and over again. We saw it with Lattimore with the Saints. And we saw what Trufant did when he first arrived in Atlanta. So every good team pretty much has a lockdown corner. The Bucs don't have a number one corner, no matter how much we want to think they do. It looks like they have a bunch of number twos.
But, Steve, a couple of corners could be off the board by 14.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a corner, Ira, but I wouldn't cry if they did.
Okay. No,
again, if
they
really believe in the guy. Daniel Jeremiah, guys, came out and he gave a great explanation saying that this year's draft, as far as mock drafts and what teams are going to do, is the biggest mystery ever because there were no pro days. And pro days is when all the scouts and coaches gather. And that's where the leaks come, because a coach is sitting there chatting with his assistant coach and a scout, and he's talking about a guy, and next thing you know, the scout shares some information over a couple of beers, and the pro day is where the information spreads. Like, that's the coronavirus starting point there. He said no pro days, no information. And Jeremiah explained that when he's calling around to these GMs, and you know he's got all the access with NFL Network, he said he's never seen such a big gap where one guy's third rounder is another guy's, he's in our undrafted pool. So you think we're going to see the effects of that, Ira, as far as the way the draft really plays out?
Well, you know what it does to me, Steve, is the fact that there hasn't been pro days, Lee, that hasn't stopped the rumors and the speculation.
Never will.
You know, in mid-April. That hasn't stopped. It's been steady for a month now. It's going to only intensify in the next 48 hours. Lee, now the latest thing is Kinlaw. Kinlaw's got a bad hip. Kinlaw's got this. It happens every year, Lee. Every year. They'll take somebody in the draft. There'll be a plant from a team that is interested in that particular guy. And they'll dump on him. These national pundits will scoop it up because they want to keep the access alive with the source, the unnamed source, of course. And Lee, it happens all the time, and most of the time when you look back in hindsight, it had absolutely no merit. Now, Steve's point about the pro days, Lee, that speculation and those rumors had some credibility behind it because people did talk after these pro days. But this stuff is absolutely, for the most part, Lee, in my opinion, designed to throw people off and to benefit the guy that's spewing this to the national writers and for their benefit, and whether it's questioning Simmons, what positions he's going to play in the NFL, all the stuff, Lee, about Tua, and now the stuff about Kinlaw. In the next 48 hours, there's going to be some other guys that are going to be in the process of trying to take down top prospects for their own benefit, Lee.
Ira, do you think in the same vein that's what's going on with O.J. Howard? And Lombardi comes out and says, I got a phone call and they're trying to move him down in Tampa.
Just a really fast break in the podcast here. Right now is when Ira reveals, before the Gronk trade came out, that he knew about this Gronk trade. And he talks about that, and then we learn in real time, while we're recording the podcast, of the trade. So we've edited to take out any speculation, and it's all very clear. There's plenty more draft talk left, plenty of Gronk talk, but you will get a feel for Ira's having that knowledge, and then we reading the breaking news, and it's kind of fun.
No, I don't, Lee. I think the Howard stuff is credible. I think there's a problem. Steve, I guess it's time to toss a little nugget into the pond here. On Joe Bucks fan, it's what we do. In the words of Mr. DeKemper, I have been told that the speculation about Rob Gronkowski coming to the Bucks is valid.
Oh, he's going to ditch his promising wrestling career?
I have been told that people who toil, not work, toil at one Buck place are of the opinion that they have a decent chance to lasso Rob Gronkowski if they can work out a deal with Mr. Belichick, because, Steve, he is New England property, and they're not going to cut him when they can get something for him. And those ties to Brady are real, And Steve, people in the organization believe they have a credible chance to reunite Brady and Gronkowski.
Well, that's powerful stuff. Lee, what's your feeling on Gronk?
Well, what Ira just said a little bit, just a few seconds ago, if they're bringing in Gronkowski, I don't think they're keeping both Howard and Brait.
Absolutely.
So that would suggest to me that Howard is being dangled or will be dangled. You know, we're getting into semantics here because I got a text from someone at One Buck, and they said Bucks are not actively shopping O.J. Howard. So, you know, what's that mean? Like, you know, not actively shopping him this week? You're not looking to trade him next week? You know, that's a vague term. That's not a definite no. He's not on the shop on the auction block. Yes, he is on the block.
It's kind of like when Ira goes to Pam's restaurant. He's not actively dieting, but he gets some lettuce on his sandwich. You know, that's it.
here's one for
Hey, Steve, you would think, Belichick, that his focus would be on what's best for the Patriots, Lee. You would think it always has been. Lee, and you could argue either way. I don't think it's a terrible decision by Belichick to move on from Tom Brady. I'm not going to criticize Belichick from a New England perspective, whether he thinks Stidham can get the job done or he'll get somebody else in there. Far be it from me, Lee, to criticize Bill Belichick on a personnel decision. He does not make many mistakes. New England and Tampa are in two absolutely different situations. And from a New England perspective, he wants to move on without Brady. I think in the end, he'll do what's best for the Patriots.
I'm throwing this at both you guys, and it's related sort of to the O.J. Howard rumors. Did you guys see the video of Jason Lockenfora being asked about the rumors of O.J. Howard being on the shopping block?
No.
Lockenfora's reaction, it was beautiful. It was like his mouth drops open, he shakes his head a little bit, he opens up his palms to the sky, and it was kind of like, What are we talking about this for? This has been going on for 2 years. Wake me up when something happens. You're just going to believe, you know, like, well, yeah, you know, he's been on the trading block since two deadlines ago. You know, this isn't news.
You know,
beautiful.
Steve, I've been rereading some of Arian's comments at the end of the season after the Atlanta finale and the day after when he had his final news conference. And O.J. Howard's name came up, especially on that Monday. You don't have to be a mind reader. Just from what the transcript says, he was really disappointed in O.J. Howard's production. He didn't say, I don't use tight ends. He didn't say, we didn't give him much of a chance. What he said was he blocked very well in the Atlanta game, Steve. That was one of his comments. And very little about how special a player O.J. Howard could be. I thought by the end of the season, Steve, he had almost given up on O.J. Howard publicly.
Yeah.
All right, Sage, your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's first family of Ford. The 0% financing options rolled out by Ford to help out customers at this time are extraordinary. We want you to call, email, drop in on General Manager Sean Sullivan, our good friend, our draft guru. He will talk Bucks with you. He will get you the best deal possible. He'll get you the Ira Kaufman discount, and you'll just get great information if that's all you're looking for. BillCurryFord.com gets it all started. All right, Ira, now I've got to say this. With the Gronk thing, why do we think the Patriots are interested in O.J. Howard? Because we heard some rumors before. I don't know. After a whole year of O.J. Howard not thriving, under Bruce Arians, a guy that Bill Belichick knows and respects, especially if you've heard Arians talk about his conversations with Belichick during his broadcast time when he was at CBS.
Maybe you're right, but we don't know what kind of grade, Lee, Belichick put on Howard coming out of the 2017 draft. And obviously the Bucks picked ahead of New England that year, Lee, so he didn't get a chance to draft Howard. We don't know if he would have. But, Lee, what if he was really high on Howard coming out of Alabama and thinks I can unlock this young man's potential? You never know. Coaches do think like that, Lee.
Your information is fascinating. I guess that means that the Bucks think a hurt messed up back tight end who was last seen wrestling and probably isn't in football shape at all, is a better option than O.J. Howard. To me, it says more about Howard than it does Gronkowski.
Well, Lee, we're talking about a Hall of Fame tight end. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, the last time he played, Steve, in 2018, he made some big, big catches in the postseason. I think he made the biggest play of the Super Bowl against the Rams that year. It was a long catch, and he had some good catches against the Chiefs in that playoff game. And he was the entire New England offense, Steve, for the most part, down the stretch that year. And, of course, in the Super Bowl, New England didn't do much offensively against the Rams. Won that game primarily on defense. So, Steve, he's 30 years old. Steve, he's 30. He's not 35. And you got to think, even with a truncated offseason, he's got too much pride to start the season out of shape. If he's on the Bucs and playing with Brady, he'll be ready to play, Steve.
It would be a lot of fun. How much money is he going to make is a question. And he's a punishing blocker.
Yes.
And you know, that would really make the offensive situation that much more interesting. It makes me wonder now if they really think, and they probably know, you know how this goes. If they believe that they can get Gronkowski, if they think the odds are strong, so let's say 75% chance that they think they can do it, does that affect how they draft? Are they less eager to have a right tackle come in here?
Interesting.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they've had some preliminary talks, Lee, with Mr. Belichick. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they're just basing this on the fact that they know Gronkowski would like to play in Tampa with Brady. Well, Lee, that's only half the battle. The other half is prying him out of New England. May not be easy, but they think they have a real chance. Those rumors are not crazy.
Powerful stuff from the sage. Who'd you talk to, Ira?
Never mind that. What's the next subject, my friend?
All right. Two-part question here, Ira. Two-parter. And my question one is, do you trust in the ability of the Buccaneers brass? Do you trust in their ability to pick a running back in the draft who can be successful in year one?
Guys, we have to be honest here. You know, since Jason Light, he has a very, let's say, checkered record as far as running backs. Lee, here's where I think it helps. They're looking for a specific type of running back. They're looking for certain traits in a running back. And I don't think necessarily Jonathan Taylor fits the bill as well as a Clyde Helaire Edwards, maybe even a Cam Akers or a Dobbins. The guy has to catch the ball. They've come out and said it 47 different ways. Not all running backs are particularly adept at that feature. Hello, Mr. Ronald Jones. Although Ronald Jones made some strides last year in that regard. No question. But Jones doesn't look like a guy who's going to catch 70 balls. And Brady has a history of a running back that's going to catch 70 balls, move the chains, keep possession, keep your defense fresh. All those little things add up. And Lee, along those lines, and I've been checking on this, did you know, I might break a little more news over here, Izbits, You better stop me before I take over this podcast.
Who are you talking to, Ira?
Your dog. The Bucks don't have any more stories about your dog going to the bathroom on the kitchen floor.
Yeah, in retrospect, I'm not happy with that story. So I'll try to come up with a better one. But, Lee, did you know along these lines about Brady with the short balls? You know, yards per attempt, Lee. There's a lot of statistics in football in terms of quarterbacking. Yards per attempt, that's a big one. It's a big one. And it's not yards completion. It's yards per attempt. And Winston registered a very healthy number. He was over 8.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong number. Brady's number was 6.6. And Lee, among quarterbacks that had as many attempts as Brady, that was last. It was last.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
wow.
It doesn't mean he wasn't a good quarterback, but it means that he's throwing short balls. Winston led the league with 75 completions. 75 of 20 yards or more. 75. That's almost five a game. That's a big number. Brady had 60. He likes to throw to backs and tight ends. I mean, that's his history. When he had Randy Moss, guys, he was 28 years old. He ain't 28 years old. Let's remember that. The last thing is they're looking for a running back with a particular trait. And in that regard, Lee, I think they'd have a better chance of finding what they're looking for.
You know, Ira, you're very, you have a love of vocabulary. You have a love of the King's English. So I'm going to throw one on you here. The Bucks running backs the last 3 or 4 years has left Bucks fans, and I guess you can include me on this, cadaverous. Cadaverous.
It's been moribund, gentlemen. Moribund.
Ira, Lee was going to say limp, but I know that strikes a chord with you, so we avoid that word.
That's way too personal, Steve. Way too personal.
I gotta dissect one of these numbers you just threw out there, okay?
Hold on. Let me finish this point, Steve.
Please do.
Steve, if you're looking for a running back with some hands that's comfortable catching the ball and knows how to get open out of the backfield, are you telling me you can't find one in the 2020 draft? Find one, Steve. No excuses. Find one.
I get it, Ira. I asked if you were confident in their ability to do that. It seems that you are somewhat confident because it's a limited scope with the running back. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying.
All right.
Yes.
Glad I got it. Now, you said Jameis threw completed 75 passes of 20 yards or more.
Yes.
Last year, and Tom Brady completed 60. Is that what you said?
I believe it's 60, yes.
Okay, so Jameis completed one more per game, but if you compare the wide receivers who actually went deep on the Patriots, which is not Edelman, compared to what Jameis had going deep, it's night and day. He did not have the targets, and I know this is going to play out very interestingly because I know you and many others have said Brady lost something on his long ball, and Carson Palmer, heck, he even said Brady was going to have to hitch into his deep throws.
I think so.
I'm not sure he really did lose that much because it's just so hard to tell without any deep threats. I mean, they've been so desperate for a deep threat, they've been turning to Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown. They just have nobody because Belichick doesn't want to pay any of them. Which is bizarre, and they let Brandon Cooks go. It's just a very interesting scene over there.
You know, that's not a bad point, Steve. I mean, Edelman, I think, had 100 catches, a big number, and he doesn't only catch 8 yards, Edelman. I mean, he's a very good receiver. And then they had the running back caught a lot of balls. And after that, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, I know you got your computer in front of you. After the first two guys, I don't think they had a receiver with more than 30 catches. 30. So, Lee, he's not wrong. This is an embarrassment of riches, particularly if Gronkowski comes aboard, but you already got the best wide receiver tandem. They'll pick up another receiver, I think, in the draft. It's a wide receiver rich draft, Lee. There's no reason to think the Bucks won't draft the receiver in the fourth round and find somebody that can fill the number three role. So, you know, it depends on how you want to look at it. But Lee, I'm going to stick to my guns. And this is the law of physics, Lee. I'm not trying to rip on Tom Brady, Lee. You don't throw the same way at 43 than you do at 30, Lee. I mean, that's not rocket science.
Now, I may have some breaking news, Ira. Well, Twitter must be on the same wavelength you are, Ira. Twitter is abuzz as we speak, as we're taping this, about Gronkowski coming to the Bucks.
That's real-time confirmation, Dud DeCamper.
All right, Sage, so that's
what we do on this podcast over there, Steven.
Let me sum this up, Ira, because I'm getting very confused. I'm not very smart, and I don't have any computer open here. I've got my last Wavemaker Amber Ale from Big Storm Brewery, so I have to re-up. I'm going to take care of that at bigstormbrewery.com, and I'm sitting out here in the sun doing my thing. So, Ira, look, you've got us taking an offensive tackle in round one, you've got us drafting a running back. You've got us taking a wide receiver in round four, and you got Gronk coming here. What the hell's going on? How many more points are we going to score than the 28.5 a game we had last year? I mean, at some point, I think some defensive reality's got to jump in
now.
Here.
Now, hold
can
on.
I interject real quick, guys? Rappaport said Gronkowski interested in coming back only to play for the Bucks. New England is not in the discussion with Gronkowski. And he also reports the Bucks and Belichick have been talking turkey. A trade could happen within 24 hours. Let continue.
Boy, the guy sounds like he's listening to our podcast over there, Lee. That's what it sounds like.
Ira, the sad thing is you could have broken this news on Twitter. You would have been a hero across the globe.
No, I save it for our podcast, gentlemen, our podcast. Now, Steve, don't forget one thing, Steve. I said if the four tackles are gone, they should take a defensive lineman. I did say that. I didn't say they should take a running back at 14. I didn't say they should trade up for an offensive lineman. I said they should stay where they are, Lee, and if they're gone, you take a defensive lineman, and I'm sticking with that. So I'm not all in on offense. And, Steve, I'm also the guy that said maybe you take a safety in the third round. So I'm not locked into a wide receiver. I'm not that worried about the number three wide receiver slot, Lee. I'm not losing any sleep about it.
Now, I know you're kind of leaning, one of the tackles, if they're there at 14, don't push it. Running back in the second round, third rounder on safety, and fourth round to see what happens. If you get some incredible value because of this year's draft, then go get the wide receiver in round four. I think that sums up what you've told us. I'm just needling you a little bit here. I hear Lee typing in the background furiously. Part two of why I asked you about the running backs. Now, you've got some faith that the Bucs will find the running back they want, but we know that there's a fire sale in Jacksonville and Leonard Fournette's on the market because they're trying to tank, and the guy can catch the ball. Last year, seventh in total carries, sixth in total rushing yards. That's fantastic production. He caught 76 passes. He was the only real threat on their team, and he's only to do $4 million this year. Am I missing something? Or I know Lee's not a big Fournette fan. What am I missing?
He easily had the best year of his career last season. And it was a hell of a year. And he stayed healthy, Steve. Health's been a big problem for Fournette, even though he's a big, big back. He had a hellacious season. There's no question about it. When everybody was keyed in to stop him, they don't have a lot of weapons downfield. But I'll say this, Steve, and the money's right, too. The problem, Steve, is he might be a head case. I'll speak for DeKemper right now because he's tapping something out. The Bucks don't need any head cases in that locker room. Light keeps yakking about it, what a great locker room it is. I can't vouch for Fournette as a teammate, but I'm hearing there are some problems in that regard. But on paper, Steve, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Depends what the cost is. But he was very, very productive. In terms of yards from scrimmage last year, Steve, he had to be, I would say, top five in the league.
We're talking about Fournette, right?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, because I'm concentrating on writing. I'm not a huge Fournette fan. If you look at his numbers, he's basically Peyton Barber. He was, or is, what a lot of people thought him to be. When he's coming out of college, injury prone, although he hasn't missed that many games, he's pretty much a dinosaur in football. He's a one-trick pony. Yeah, he's underrated when it comes to the pass, but I don't see the Bucks getting rid of Fournette. From my understand, Jacksonville's trying to clean up the locker room. They have a bunch of knuckleheads. They started cleaning up the locker room a few months ago, back in the last season, when they got rid of Ramsey. Now you see that the son of the Jags owner, Shad Khan, gets into it with Yannick on Twitter. And the funny line was Yannick saying, "Once you get off your rear end and trade me," and Khan replies, "What's the compensation? You aren't helping the compensation by doing this," which is absolutely correct. So it really sounds like Jacksonville's trying to clean out things, get the head cases out of there, and Fournette seems to be a pain in the neck for those guys. So maybe he just wants to play for Arians, wants to win. I don't know. But if that's the only guy you can get, sure. But I would look at other options.
You know, Steve, one thing about Fournette, he got a reputation of being a battering ram. Steve, but the guy breaks a lot of 50-yard runs, too. Interesting.
Yeah, let me say this about Fournette. I read something, and I talked to somebody as well about this, and it's very interesting in philosophically speaking. In 2017, you remember when Doug Marrone came in and said, hey, we're going to run you guys like dogs in training camp? He has a total change in philosophy. We're going to, you know, we're going to bend the rules with back-to-back practices, and we're going to stay within the laws with best we can, and we're going to run sprints, and we're going to kill these guys with an old-school training camp. And the trade-off, supposedly, for Marrone was, I'm going to require these guys to just break their ass like no other team in the NFL, but as soon as practice is over, I'm going to let them be themselves and be a little crazy in the locker room, and it's going to be a different culture. And that took them, it works. It took them all the way to the AFC Championship game, and Fournette walked into that culture of, hey, you practice like an animal, and then you can go crazy. And it worked. And it was a short-lived thing, and he started getting rid of guys when he had to tail that back. So I can't blame Fournette for, you know, for sort of just sort of living within the culture. Last year, he was heralded for being a model citizen, and he was not in a contract year. He caught 76 balls, and the bottom line is, when you're seventh in carries and sixth in total rushing yards among running backs, it's incredible production. And you look at
he stayed healthy, Steve. He stayed healthy. That was a big key.
And he was healthy as a rookie, and he was dominant in the playoffs. I think he had 3 or 4 touchdowns against the Steelers in that wild game. And, you know, I think you look at that Bruce Arians was a guy who brought in Adrian Peterson to his Arizona team. And Peterson was not a pass catcher. I'm not comparing the two as backs, but Peterson was older and hadn't been playing as well. And they're very similar types of styles in some ways. I don't know. I don't trust anybody at $1 to pick a running back, so I'd rather have a guy who's a crazy talent, who we know can catch the ball, and who's just an absolute explosive athlete.
Well, Steve, I can understand your skepticism based on history, Steve. We have been complaining about the running backs on this team since Doug Martin went AWOL in 2016. I mean, that's a long time ago. That's 4 years in a row. They haven't had a credible ground game. I don't care what the general manager says. I don't care what Arians has to say, what Cutter had to say. The numbers are the numbers, Lee, and they haven't been running worth a damn, and you can blame it all on the offensive line if you want.
But here's the thing, you know,
Sims is out of the league, right? Out of the league.
Yeah,
he's out of the league, and I got to be fair about Sims. I was no fan of Sims at all, but he had some kind of nerve damage, if I recall correctly. So I think he's been just, you know, unable to pass a physical.
And Martin couldn't cut it in Oakland.
But I have to add this, you know, we're talking about getting Fournette potentially with this news about Gronkowski. He's not coming cheap. So can they afford Fournette as well?
That's a question. Steve, can you imagine Gronkowski even at 85% coming in with Evans and Godwin great behind them? Forget about O.J. Howard. He won't be here. And supposedly a rookie running back that can catch the ball. Unless this offensive line screws things up royally, this should be the best offense in football, gentlemen, or the best one south of Kansas City.
Given Gronk's affinity for partying, should we worry about the undertow?
No, because Lee, you'll take him to Big Storm, and he'll sample about 11 different brewskis. But on game day, he's ready to play. No drinking on game day, Lee.
Okay, I figured Gronk would be living at the undertow.
Ira, my concern is, and it comes back to again, and we don't have to rehash the whole thing because we talked about it last podcast. They were third in scoring and third in total yards. There's only so much you can do. There's only one ball to go around, and it just doesn't smell to me like an intelligent move to mortgage everything to try to build the greatest offense in history when I don't think that's what you really need to win.
I understand, Steve, but nobody's talking about mortgaging. Nobody's talking about, giving them Vita Vea for Gronkowski. Nobody's talking about that. And I'll tell you what, if he did come, I don't want any buck crying in his beer about a third wide receiver. Oh, we don't have anybody. I mean, it's an embarrassment. There would be an embarrassment of riches over there. If you can get the right running back, and as Steve says, that's an if with a capital I.
All right, Ira, your podcast is available for everybody to subscribe to. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. It's a great way to get an alert when the podcast posts. But frankly, there's a delay on those podcast platforms. So sometimes you'll get the alert immediately. Sometimes it could take a few hours. Best way to do it is to just go and listen like thousands do at joebucksfan.com. I'll close with this, Ira, two quick ones. One, Mekhi Becton, you've heard about the drug failed tests and stuff that we don't really know any more about. 6'7", 364 pounds. The guy's an absolute freakish talent, and you can't teach that kind of size. Do you have an issue, and Warren Sapp would be all over this, do you have an issue with drafting a guy that big and asking him to grind it out in the Tampa Sun?
If he's there, I'm taking him. If he's the last of the four standing, I'm taking him. They might have one of the other four rated higher. I understand that.
Guys, but, more breaking news.
Uh-oh, now what, Lee?
Jay Glazer, I will read this verbatim. You can react to his statement on Twitter. Just heard from Gronk. Already took his physical for the Bucks. Trade not completed, but he's coming back for the Bucks if all goes through.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I guess it's not that complicated, Isbits. Boy, what a move heading 2 days before the draft. Oh, my. Can you imagine the national attention on this football team during training camp this fall, if there is a season, gentlemen? As Steve says, what about playing a little defense? But, Lee, if they can be if that defense can finish 17th, in theory, this team could do some damage. Damage.
The Bucks have never, Ivory, correct me if I'm wrong, have never had this kind of coverage. And unfortunately, it took a pandemic for that to happen. But how many, before Brady came here, a couple, you know, when the rumors started, all these talk shows, the only thing they had to talk about is the NFL draft. Okay, they want to rehash a documentary on Michael Jordan, whatever. That's all they've had to talk about is the NFL and the draft and Brady. That's, I mean, just this morning, there was a thing. They were talking about Tom Brady and the Bucks, the Skip Bayless show on FS1. Now you got Gronk coming? It's going to be a repeat of that for the next couple weeks, that and the draft. The Glazers could not have planned this any better.
Steve, that is a star-studded locker room, Mr. Isbits. Even you have to find somebody you can interview that's worth a few quotes, Isbits. And I know how shy you are around some of these players, how intimidated you are, but... Steve, that is a star-studded room.
It's insane. It's just absolutely insane. They're building this rock star situation going on, and we don't even realize the scope of it. I think adding Gronk probably means even another national game. Maybe it takes it from 5 to 6. I mean, the Bucks are going to be in high demand. I just hope the guys who aren't used to this kind of stuff can handle it. But at least Brady has somebody in there that he knows now who he can work with on the locker room. And I think that's going to be very important only because everybody at $1 seems to think it's so important. And now at least he'll have a little bit of help because, Gronk's not going to censor himself. It sure makes it a lot more fun.
Lee, it's never been like this around Tampa, even in the golden days. Offense sells tickets, Lee. Offense sells tickets. Defense wins games. Well, the Bucks are going to try to do both. I'll say this, for our listeners that think we're getting way ahead of the story on Gronkowski, you don't tell a man to take a physical unless you've kind of laid out the contingencies of a trade, and this would be the final piece.
I mean, why would you take a physical otherwise? Just because you're bored? You want somebody jamming his hand up your... You know what? Just to break up the monotony of a pandemic afternoon?
Sounds to me like they got a deal in place, Steven.
Well, yeah, obviously the Patriots approved for Gronk to take a physical for the Buccaneers. So they have the elements of a deal in place. It's fascinating. Gronk recently did an appearance just the other day on some sort of show. I don't know what it was. He certainly looks like he's in $1 million shape, but that's not football shape. But regardless, there's plenty of time. It's only April.
Boy, Buck fans, the hits just keep coming, gentlemen.
All right, Ira, so we are going to step away from your fantastic podcast and get ready for the NFL draft. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, Bill Curry Ford, home of these incredible 0% financing offers. Ira, in the wake of all this news and the excitement of the draft, do you have any change in thought now on the draft with Gronkowski coming to the Bucks? And we'll go out on that.
Well, they picked him up on the cheap, Steve, up on the cheap. You can't complain about what they're giving up. Gronkowski, a Buccaneer. Gentlemen, it's unbelievable. Now, I'm having trouble thinking about the draft or thinking about Gronkowski once Izbitz told me that I'm getting lunch from Big Storm Brews tomorrow. So,
what a podcast this has been for you, Ira.
It's been a hellacious podcast. It started with pee on the floor in the kitchen and now Gronkowski. So we've come from a mess on the floor to a jewel in the locker room. I'll end it on that, gentlemen.